Amen.
That's one of the reasons that we, it's not on. Oh, it's on, okay. That's one of the reasons why we keep the missionaries in prayer, because these things come out of nowhere. Brother Ben, you texted me about 10 o'clock at night or something like that, so that came right out of nowhere. So you have to be instant in season and instant out of season. So Pastor Mouse asked me to just to, kind of like, how did I get involved in missions? Well, it kind of fell on me. I didn't pursue it per se. But as I was saved over a number of years, there was I met missionaries in ministries, and I just kind of clicked with them. I can't say exactly what it was, but if they had a burden, I felt their burden, and I don't, you know, it's so it was probably, you know, spirits, you know, connecting with one with another. But I just wanted to. The Lord has shown me over the last number of weeks, and sometimes I would just sit in my prayer chair, and I would have to ask, Lord, why did you save me? I have nothing. I started with nothing. I have nothing. So everything is your grace. Everything is your grace. And so it just made me think, Lord, you have given me so much. I am so grateful. And so I asked Brother Ben, I'm a musician, so I like music. Brother Ben and I, we just love music. We could sit around and listen to it all the time. But anyhow, I'd asked him to play this classical piece, and it brings the story of a young lady, and this young lady was unknown, but the Lord used her. The Lord used her. And it's a beautiful story, and this young lady's life completely changed all of history. So would you play that about the glory of this young lady? Does anybody recognize who that is? Who was telling their story? You turn to first chapter of Luke, and you'll see it. Anybody have their Bibles today? Dig them out. Luke 1, and it's verse 47, just 47 through 55. And this is what happens when the Lord chooses a people that we don't think, well, maybe they wouldn't be the best person for that job. Pastor Luke used to say that, you know, he doesn't call the qualified. He doesn't call those who are qualified, but he qualifies those who are called. You know, and so we're all in that position because there's no such thing as a professional Christian. So we all started here on the level ground at the cross. We all started there. Anyhow, this is a beautiful song. This is Mary's song. And I was just thinking about these kind of like 3 points. I was thinking with Mary's song that we can be grateful, we can be faithful, and we can be loveful. And I believe that's the way that the Lord, if we never get out of that mode, if we stay in that mode of being grateful and faithful, and we're driven by love, and love whatever our actions are, whatever our words are, you know, I don't think we can ever go wrong in that. I believe if we stay grateful for what God has done in our lives, first of all, He saved us. You can put all the money you want in this offering. You will never buy your salvation. You will never impress God with your brain power, and you will never impress Him with your good looks or your money or your education. The thing that impresses God is, what do you do with His Son, the Lord Jesus? And has the Lord Jesus changed your life? And He took my life with nothing and changed it. Completely changed my life. You people don't know who I am. You don't know where I came from. I am not goody two-shoes. Please believe me when I tell you that. I really needed God's grace. I really did. And God was so merciful. And so I look at this little young girl here. She was one of David's grandchildren, but all that line, they had forgotten about all those people. But God didn't forget. He remembered. He remembered there was a young lady, and she was from royalty. And even though everything had been lost in her family line, God remembered. And He says here in 40, this young lady says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant." And He was mindful of the humble this servant right here. The state was bad, and He remembered me. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." I'm blessed because of what the Lord Jesus, "for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who revere Him. From generation to generation, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones." He's done this for generations. He's brought down rulers for generations from their thrones. "But He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel." Israel is His covenant people. His covenant people. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, we're His covenant people. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. The Jews need salvation, and the Gentiles need salvation. Now, the gospel is to the Jews first, but there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. "He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful." Oh, my, praise God. "Remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." I just want to tell you, you know, when you think about the Jews, they're the covenant people. But when you read the Old Testament, you know, Noah's descendants, they weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. So even though we have the covenant, which we never curse the Jews, we never do that. We always bless the children of the stock of Israel. But at the same time, there was Gentiles that revered, especially, you know what, we're all descended from Noah. Every last one of us, no matter what we look like, no matter what our personalities, that boat, I was just thinking this morning, Pastor Mel, there was one way to get saved during Noah's time, was to get on that boat. He didn't say, now I'm going to build this boat, and by the way, there's a couple little rubber dinghies with motors on the back, and that'll help you save. He didn't say that. He said there was one way, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So he's ready to save Jew and Gentile. So praise God for his mercy. But when I think about mostly our fleshly ways and how we tend to forget. We just tend to forget. And I just wrote down here, just the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, gave us the unparalleled gift of His own Son to mend the separation between Himself and His creation. Before time began, Father God had already woven a plan. This is unbelievable. Woven a plan which would involve the giving of His Son to a people darkened and hardened by the sin from Adam's rebellion. What Jesus has done, that cross. I just saw this the other day, in Psalm 2. And in Psalm 2, the Lord God says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And it just struck me. I thought, wait a minute. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Hill. When you think about hill, what do you think of? I have set my king on my holy hill of Calvary. I have set my king on my holy hill of Golgotha. We can't buy this salvation. If I'm not grateful, if I'm not faithful, and I'm not loveful for what God has done. One time, that cross was taken down, never to be put up again. I was thinking about, talking about gratefulness, of course you think of in the negative, you think of ungratefulness. And when you read in first chapter of Romans, he highlights that, and ungratefulness is just so dangerous. It is just a dangerous, dangerous thing. And because it says that they didn't give God any glory. They didn't give God any thankfulness. And you think, well, that's, you know, so. But you have to understand, in almost all cultures of the world, especially in backward cultures, what we would call backward cultures, to refuse a gift can also almost get you into a war. If you refuse a gift, that is a terrible, terrible insult in some backward cultures. So if Jesus is the given gift, and we reject Him, we reject what He wants to do with our lives. You know, the Father is very much insulted. And you don't insult the Father God and get away with it. He is going to require not only, if you think about it, I mean, the Scripture says that, you know, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So if it begins with us, and I was just talking to somebody the other day here over here at church, and we're talking about the situations that have happened on the earth over the last number of years, disasters and everything that has struck over the last number of years. And it's like the Lord is saying, you know, I gave you this gift 2,000 years ago, world. It's about time you woke up. 2,000 years ago, I gave you this gift. Brother Justin was saying about, okay, grace, 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 you know. And so thank God for His grace. Now, in my heart, I'm hoping it keeps extending and keeps extending and keeps extending because I have loved ones that aren't saved. I have relatives that know about Jesus, but they just turned their back on Him. In Deuteronomy 28, this is an interesting scripture. I was read this a number of years ago, and I thought it was very, very interesting. 28, Deuteronomy, okay. Anyhow, he says, basically he's saying here in Deuteronomy 28, he says that because you did not appreciate me, somebody said something, because you did not appreciate me for all the abundance that I had given you. He said, in other words, I've given you it. Now, he took them out of Egypt. He saved them. He brought them out of Egypt. He fed them. He gave them water. Their clothes didn't wear out. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he indicts them for saying, I did all this, but you're still ungrateful. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm ungrateful. Maybe I'm not as grateful as I should be. Brother Ben was saying about in our culture how we're living in freedom right now, and Sister Debbie was saying, "Yeah, but we don't know how long that's going to last." And I'm thinking, "Oh, I wish it would last a whole lot longer," but we don't know. We don't know. So we can, like I said, we can never move off of gratefulness for what God has done. I mean, you know, and then the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. I mean, I'm trying to, it's like somebody was saying, they're trying to comprehend eternity. Okay, I'm trying to comprehend the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. He had everything. He gave it all up. And then he died a terrible death. He was tortured. He was debased. And he was stripped. And I mean, if you think about it, in our culture, this is a horrible, horrible thing. But yet God allowed that. I mean, he could have died in another culture where it wasn't that, you know, that was such a horrible criminal death. And Jesus was faithful to that. I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I have trouble just being faithful in very, very small things. But Jesus was faithful unto death. Now, come on. Now, Lord, he's holy. I mean, he's sinless. But yet, in the Scripture, this is an interesting Scripture. I think it's only given one time. And it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Okay, now that's unbelievable. That's a faithfulness that he put himself in the hands of the Father and it pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, when the Father bruised him, there was an exchange. So the Father bruised him, and what did the Father get? What did the Father want? He wanted you and me. So it isn't like we made ourselves better and now we're acceptable. That's not what has happened. This divine exchange through the Lord Jesus is unfathomable. It's just unfathomable what he has done. So his faithfulness is just... It says, oh, that was Deuteronomy 28:47. I was sorry about that. Anyhow. Yeah, so the actual quote is, it says, this is from Deuteronomy, because you did not serve the Lord your God with, well, this is interesting, you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. With joy and gladness of heart. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. Unbelievable. This, what the Father has done and what Jesus has accomplished. I'm like, okay, Lord, I can understand it. You know, you could save some of the people at Grace Chapel because there's some nice people there. You know, they're nice. They're cultured, you know. But then I'm thinking, yeah, but what about me? I mean, you know, you took me from really below ground zero. So I could never look down my nose at anybody, you know. And that, the Lord healed me of that, because I had a little bit of formal education, you know, and it's like, well, I know more than you do. Yeah, well, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. I mean, really, if you think about it, that's what Paul said. Paul, he said all that learning that he had, Paul was learned. This man knew multiple languages. And I'll share something with you. I shared with Pastor Mel and some other people. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the Jewish encyclopedia, there's a Jewish encyclopedia, all written by Jews. There's no Christian, nobody else. It's a big, thick encyclopedia. Well, guess whose name is in there? Saul of Tarsus. You say, Saul of Tarsus? What in the world's he doing in that thing? And there's a short paragraph, and it says, basically, Saul of Tarsus was a very, very learned rabbi, and in so many words, he was slated to be the chief rabbi in Jerusalem. This is in a Jewish encyclopedia. So when you read Paul, you know, he talks about, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know, when you read Paul, you realize when he said everything was manure that he had learned. I mean, that's pretty, you know, gross. But anyhow, but that's what he said, you know. And so you have the difference between a man who said he was chief of sinners, extremely educated. Now, if he had become, now he would have been, Pastor Mel, I think he would have been chief rabbi after Caiaphas. Because they said he was on the, you know, the running track. He was gone. And then in this little short thing it says in the encyclopedia, it says in so many words, but he divested himself of the honor and he basically turned against Judaism. That's basically what it says. But you know, so I mean, even if you have really, really high education, which Paul did, you know, he just said, well, it really doesn't amount to anything. So Jesus is the true treasure. Jesus is the true treasure. It's not. I'm not going to bedazzle you with biblical brilliance. So that's not it. You know, it's what did Jesus do, and he's working in my life. It's not done yet. You know, but he's gracious and kind. I can't earn it. He gives it. And so that's where we all are. Okay, I believe that. Maybe in some ways we're different levels of maturity. You know, I believe that. You know, but if I don't believe you're at the right level of maturity, I got to make sure, you know, that I don't say, well, so-and-so, how's come? Well, don't they know, you know. But anyhow, God is good. God is good. God is good in spite of us. I mean, God is really good in spite of us. I didn't have to dust myself off and put on a coat of wax to make myself look good. He said, I'm starting with zero. Now you watch what I'm going to do. That's why, because it says, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're still on this journey together. And I just thank God for what he has done. Just a couple different scriptures I had. This one was Psalms 85. And here again, it's another. The Lord is, I mean, the writer is giving glory to God. This is one of the sons of Korah. These people were they were part of the priestly family, the sons of Korah. And here in 85, I had a number of the verses. I guess maybe did the whole thing here. Okay. And so He's what he's saying is, Lord, you're working with us, you know. You're working with us, and we're trying to work with you. And the psalmist, I mean, the writer here says, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. So we're talking about redemption here. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. That's really what he's done in Christ. And Christ said that we have all been in that situation. He has turned away from his fierce anger. Now, it's just beautiful here. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? So he's talking revival. I mean, Pastor Luke always says about, Lord, pour out your spirit, and, you know. And so that's what he's saying here, you know. Will you not revive us? Will you not revive Grace Chapel again? Will you not revive Grace Chapel again? That your people here at Grace Chapel, out here in this little country church out here, that your people may rejoice in you. Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who revere him, that his glory may dwell in our land, that his glory may dwell in this land right here, that his glory may dwell in this land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Oh, praise God. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. I mean, this is just love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace. Oh my, faithfulness. So we're grateful. We're faithful. We're doing everything in love. And haven't got quite there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah, I believe it. What God started in Fetter's basement, it's not done yet. It's not done yet. When I was here yesterday with Melvin at Anna High, I'm thinking, wow, Lord, over 50 years on the mission field. 50 years. They've been married 70 years. You know what? Pastor Luke, they look young. They look young. Melvin looks he looks like he could be his son's brother. I was like, wow, the grace of God. I mean, so praise God. So we're getting ready for the mission convention, I believe our motivation should be what God has done in our lives. You know, he's taken me from, I know there's some nice people. You had nice backgrounds in your churches. I understand that. You know, but then there's some people that really, not like me, really weren't too good. But God didn't say, you straighten out and I'll save you. He says, I'll save you and I'll straighten you out. So let's give praise to God. Amen.